Morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Monday, April the 8th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 8th, 1974, Hank Aaron, yes, I mentioned him last week, Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves hit his 715th career home run in a game against the Los Angeles Dodgers. He broke Babe Ruth's record. I mentioned him last week because on that day he had tied Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. Today, he beat that record, 715th career home run. Today in 1513, explorer Ponce de Leon and his expedition began exploring the Florida coastline. They had arrived a couple of days ago. He was searching for the Fountain of Youth and other things, I'm sure. But he began his exploration today in 1513 in Florida. Today in 1864, the United States Senate passed a 38-6, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It abolished slavery. Today in 1913, the 17th Amendment to the Constitution providing for popular election of U.S. senators was ratified. They had been appointed before then. Today in 1943, President Franklin D. Roosevelt ordered a freeze on wages and prices. He did so to combat inflation. Today in 2013, former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, she died in London. She was 87 years old. And today in 2020, a 76-day lockdown was lifted in the Chinese city of Wuhan, where the global pandemic began. Wuhan virus, some called it. The press did their best to get rid of that name because China, it hurt their feelings. They didn't want it to be called Wuhan virus, as you will recall. So the press complied and the leftists in America complied and it became something other than what it was on many fronts. I mentioned on Friday that hundreds of thousands, millions of people today will be positioning themselves all just shortly after this moment as we're originating live each morning, as we do at 9 a.m. Pacific time. But people very soon will be watching the sun through glasses, I hope, approved glasses. But all across the southern and northeastern part of the United States are likely to be disappointed because the weather this morning is pretty much not conducive. There's cloud cover and bad weather covering much of the path of totality on this event that so many people have traveled and spent a lot of money to see and be in the path of totality where the sun is blocked except for that little corona around the edge of it. But a total solar eclipse is a rare event. The moon passes directly in front of the sun. We went through this on Friday. But it casts a dark shadow. It lasts a few minutes at any given point. That, of course, depends on the variables like the distance of the moon from the Earth and so on. But during this totality, the outer portion of the sun, the corona, is visible. Stars near the sun and planets like Mercury and others are normally invisible. You can see them if the weather permits. Animals get quiet and twilight rings the horizon. However, as I said, the viewers are going to see a lot of clouds in many of these places across the country. The weather forecasts have predicted that the exception is parts of the Midwest and portions of northern New England, like Maine here in the U.S. So we'll see how that plays out. The one thing I would just add, I believe I said this on Friday, but I would just add, be careful. I'm seeing all these predictions out there about the coming of the Lord. The Bible is very clear that there's going to be signs and wonders. There's going to be things that we can see that will tell us that we are living in the end times. The Lord is coming soon, and there's no question about that. I mean, all of this is these kinds of things, but there's people out there selling books and selling seminars and all kinds of things about X's in the sky and Jesus is coming on this on a certain day, so many days after this event today, and so that's not biblical. So just stay away from it. if they proclaim that today, or I saw one guy proclaiming 7 days from today will be the return of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can pretty well count on the fact that it won't, because Jesus himself said, no man knows the day or the hour. He said, only the Father in heaven. So when these guys start doing this, I'm always amazed at the number of people that follow them and buy their books and attend their seminars and all this kind of thing. And then when the Lord doesn't return on the date they're predicting, then they kind of go away and are quiet for a while. And then they come back with a new, you know, just be careful with that. That's not of God and it's not biblical. So anyway, just enjoy if you can see it, enjoy the eclipse and know that the Lord is coming soon, because he is. Southwest Airlines flight bound out of Houston immediately had to return to Denver yesterday morning after a removable sheet of metal covering one of the Boeing 737-800s, yes, that model, sheared off during takeoff. Federal Aviation Administration said last night, they said the engine cowling detached and struck one of the plane's wing flaps. It looked like more than a cowling that detached. I saw some of the video of it. It's stunning. Yet another problem with a Boeing 737-800 airplane. And the Southwest Airlines, a spokesman for Southwest, told the New York Post that the incident was the result of a mechanical issue. Well, I would think most of us could see that. And Southwest said, we apologize for the inconvenience of their delay, but place our highest priority on ultimate safety for the customers and employees. Our maintenance teams are reviewing the aircraft. That would have been perhaps helpful to hear that several problems ago, but now there's been so many problems with these planes. Thank you for reviewing it, but we need to maybe take a closer look at what's going on here. Something definitely is going on with these planes. Either they were not built properly. And, you know, I don't want to get off on this morning. I'm talking about a family issue here. But I really think living in this era of progressivism and relativism and so on, I think that bleeds through into every part of our lives. And I really believe that it has, I think it has an effect on our manufacturing, on the way we make things. Because if we believe, and these guys apparently do, that are, you know, progressive, so-called, they believe in relativism, no fixed truth. You know, you have your truth, I have my truth, and someone else has their truth, and so on. That bleeds through into the everyday experience. And people making airplanes, I mean, I'm going to overstate this, but you get the point. They're making airplanes, and this panel is supposed to have 27 rivets. And some guy goes, he's going through there, and he runs out. He doesn't have any more rivets in his little pouch on his side, his leather pouch that carries the rivets or whatever. And so they're supposed to have 27 rivets, and he's got 23. Well, I mean, hey, man, that looks solid to me. I mean, 23, 27, whatever. And he moves on. And you say, well, Gary, that isn't the way it works. Well, that kind of is the way it works, because there's not a supervisor on every employee. And I knew a guy that was in charge of a good deal of the building of planes. In fact, he was a member of the church I pastored. And he tested a lot of planes. He told me one time what we were talking about. His name was Sid. We were talking about the fact that people weren't as focused. This was a long time ago. Weren't as focused on getting it right as they once were. Well, we've progressed now to where, you know, it's chaotic. But he said, I worry that people don't take pride in their work as we once did. And this was some years ago. I think that may be a part of this whole thing with Boeing, from the supervision right on down. I think Boeing thinks that too. They, you know, the CEO is gone and other high people have resigned or been fired and so on, which needs to happen. But I think that could be a part of what's going on here today. So when we think, well, what I believe doesn't really make any difference to anyone else, it does. It bleeds into the culture, and it affects every part of our human life and human experience. So that's why it's important what we believe. The Israeli Defense Force, IDF, announced yesterday that it had withdrawn its forces from southern Gaza. That was following a demand from U.S. President Joe Biden last week for an immediate ceasefire. Hamas declared victory immediately. Last night, they were celebrating that they had conquered Israel, essentially. They won the war, and they did, in the sense that Biden forced Israel to stand down and get out. He caved not to the war. He caved to the Muslim voters that were promising, and there were thousands of them, particularly in Michigan and Minnesota and so on, up in that part of the country. They were promising him they were going to vote. They were not going to vote for him. They weren't going to vote for Trump, but they weren't going to vote for him in the election. So he spooked. And from what I've read, Jill Biden is calling the shots in the office now. Obama is behind the scenes pulling the levers, but he doesn't want to be visible, and he doesn't want to have to go down to the White House or whatever every day and be involved in it. But he's very involved in calling the shots and placing people in the administration that are his people. That's well documented. But people inside now are saying that Jill Biden has pretty much taken over, and she was demanding, because she wants to be the first lady again. And I didn't realize she was that intense until recent months, when I started reading stories of people inside that were telling conservative press people that, yeah, wow, you can't believe it. Jill's running, she's yelling at everybody and swearing and cussing them out. I mean, she's on a tear. I believe them because enough of them said the same thing, and I trust the media sources that I read that were saying this. So I read from some of the same sources that she's been putting pressure on Joe to abandon Israel, basically, at least regarding this matter, which is a very serious matter, and pacify the Muslim voters who are threatening to not vote for him. It's sad, but it's true. The decision came on the day Israeli marked 6 months after the October 7th attack. It came as a surprise. Israeli negotiators flew to Cairo for hostage negotiations. Hamas has demanded a ceasefire before any new deal. So the Jerusalem Post reported yesterday, quote, the IDF on Sunday announced that it had conducted the active invasion stage of the war for now, while leaving open the possibility of future new invasion of Rafah in deep southern Gaza. Biden's demand came after the U.S. had already allowed the United Nations Security Council to pass a resolution that separated a ceasefire from a deal to return the remaining 130 or so Israeli hostages after Hamas's core demand. I can tell you right now that Hamas is going to string this out. The guys that run Hamas, they're not even involved in this war. I mean, they're calling the shots, but they're down in Saudi Arabia or Qatar or somewhere down there, Qatar. The Biden administration also has opposed an Israeli operation in the town of Rafah near the Egyptian border. So Benjamin Netanyahu is not only dealing with terrorists, he's dealing with the president of the United States, who's not on his side. And that's where it becomes very biblical. If a nation turns their back on Israel, as we are doing now, God does not look kindly on that. The Bible is very clear. Those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. That's what God says. That's how I look at what's going on in the Middle East, because God is very invested in the Middle East and Israel. Biden was, in my opinion, simply responding to electoral considerations. after these Muslim and Arab voters in America, in the key swing states of Michigan particularly, they threatened not to support him. And of course, the young progressives, they've been indoctrinated from kindergarten right on through university. They're all out there with their Palestinian signs. These people know so much about nothing coming out of our public institutions of education, supposedly. The Israeli public, they want Israel to finish the job. Jill Biden, apparently, Jill, not Joe, but Jill, apparently is saying, no, we're not going to do it that way. Got a letter or an email from a person. I don't use names on this program, as you know, if I quote people from our mailing list. By the way, let me tell you that people from time to time ask, do we ever sell or rent or lease or loan our mailing list of people who support this ministry? We have never done that. I have never done that in the history of my adult life in ministry. We just don't do it. I have very strong feelings about that. If you want to be on people's mailing lists, you can put yourself on there. You're well capable of doing that. And if we need extra money, I'll tell you and ask the people who believe in what we're doing, whatever that is, and in this case, this program, to support it, and we need your help. We don't sell your name, lease your name, loan your name, etc. We have never done that, and we never will. And so people from time to time regularly will ask, and that's a good question, because most do. I get on somebody's mailing list, and I get 14 email with my last name misspelled or whatever, and I know it's from the place I gave $10 to or whatever. So we don't do that. We will never do that. As long as I'm around and breathing, that's not going to happen, because I feel very, very strongly about it, as I know many of you, most of you do as well. So just for the record, and I would say this person was from Vancouver, Washington. He said, hi, Gary, your April 1 letter, the mail out, is right on the mark, World War II and so on. As a lifetime student of German language, literature, and history, I can tell you that the current administration is indeed turning things upside down. They're the ones that they accuse conservatives of doing. They're doing what they accuse conservatives of doing. I hope you listen regularly to Mark Levin. His opening this evening, Saturday, was excellent, as it always is. His exposure of evil, good versus bad, relative to the upcoming election is hard-hitting. Thanks for all you do, and his name. Thank you. And yes, I do listen to Mark Levin. I like Mark Levin. I like where he's coming from and others like him. So yeah, I pay attention to a lot of people, and Marjorie can tell you that I check in on what a lot of people are saying, and Mark Levin is certainly one of them. So thank you for that, and thank you for your support. We mentioned a few weeks ago that the Portland is a problem for us. I'll just be honest with you. The stations we're on pay all the costs involved, including the airtime, which is most of the cost. And it's expensive. I mean, radio is very expensive. Christian radio is very expensive. And so it's tough if a station isn't paying for itself, and Portland isn't, and it hasn't. So I would, and to those of you who are supporting us now, and there are more people starting to support us in on KPDQ in Portland. So thank you for that. Our other stations do great. I mean, everybody does, you know, what is needed to do. And we're so grateful and humbled by that, and I appreciate it. But we just aren't quite there in Portland. So to all of you who are contributing, thank you. To those of you who are listening and not, would you prayerfully consider it? We need you to join up with us and be a part of this. So thank you. Our address is Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. I want to talk to you about family today for a few minutes. 2 out of 3 kids changed their mind about transgenderism. Over the weekend, in all that's going on, all the chaos in the world that's going on, President Biden once again told a group of people, transgender activists, I've got your back. I don't know how many times I've heard him say that, but he never stops. And again, he said, I've got your back. He is the biggest cheerleader for transgenderism in the nation, except for those who are making millions of dollars off the surgeries on these little children who are confused and should be helped and protected. And yet they're being used for huge financial gains. Biden is in there with them. I don't know what he gets out of it, but he's always pushing the transgender movement. And yet now there's more and more and more studies that a new one has just come out from Denmark. The vast majority of children who experience gender dysphoria will embrace their biological sex by adulthood. This national, it's a sweeping study. It monitored children for 15 years. It's the first study that has done that on this issue. Roughly 2 out of 3 children who identify as transgender, they have found, will embrace their birth sex by their mid-20s or earlier. People most likely to continue to identify as transgender are the ones that have very, very low self-esteem and other mental health challenges. This is according to researchers. Study of children in the Netherlands tracked 2,772 kids from the age of 11 up to 26, asking them to rate their mental and physical health every 3 years for 15 years. The findings from this, and it's been peer-reviewed, the findings from this is stunning. The left is quiet. It's not what they wanted to hear. The vast majority, 78% of people, never felt any feelings of gender dysphoria, according to researchers. In early adolescence, 11% of participants reported gender non-contentedness. The researchers said in the study, it was published in February, it was peer-reviewed by the Archives of Sexual Behavior, the prevalence decreased with age and was 4% at the last follow-up. And that's around age 26. They said that's a dissidence rate of 64%. Ben Johnson is a senior reporter. He's the editor at the Washington Stand, which is an excellent news piece, by the way, very conservative Christian. And he wrote this about this, Ben Johnson. He said experts felt vindicated by the latest research. This new study simply confirms what has been known for over a decade. He says Jay Richards, PhD, told him, the Washington Stand, in 2013, the American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders noted that most kids who experience distress with their sexed bodies, meaning born with, resolve those feelings after they pass through natural puberty. Richards, who serves as director of the Richard and Helen DeVos Center of Life, Religion, and Family, the Heritage Foundation, has been looking into this. The Dutch study acknowledges it did not break new ground because a lot of scientists already knew this. Although few studies follow the same cohort for such a long period of time, the analysts admitted their findings fell in line with the best available literature. In other words, science is lining up with God. Whether or not they admit it, they are. And they're saying, nope, you are what you're born with. That's what you are. But the scientists are not being quoted unless they're saying the right thing. And for the President of the United States and his cohorts and the people that are running this country today, that's not the right answer. So if you don't give the right answer, away with you. That's where we are. And they're using children now as pawns in this whole matter. I was encouraged by this, and yet there was a part of it that is very discouraging to think that our country is so, our leadership, not our country, the leadership is so committed to a anti-God, anti-nature position on human sexuality that the president keeps walking up to microphones and saying, I've got your back. What's the matter with him? Experts say the transgender industry's early medication intervention actually deepens and prolongs feelings of gender dysphoria. It makes it worse, not better. It's a big lie, and now it's being exposed. Not just in one case. It's being exposed everywhere in science, where people can find a place to say what they have found and the ability to say it to the public. There's a real move to silence these doctors and scientists, because that's not the message that the progressive, so-called progressive community, wants us to hear. Sexual dysfunction appears to be extremely common as well, wrote this Lior Saper. He's a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. The article was in The Hill, which is not a conservative website. But he said so-called gender-affirming hormonal treatment causes permanent physical changes, including excruciating genital growth and so on, and names a bunch of the things that happens to these kids in the process of going through all this stuff and taking these medications and puberty blockers and all of this. The Hill article says across the United States, thousands of parents have consented to having their children's puberty stopped with a class of drugs that releasing hormone and agonists known as puberty blockers. These drugs overstimulate the pituitary gland to the point of preventing it from sending signals to the ovaries or testes to start producing the hormones responsible for puberty. God created us this way. And these people are fiddling with the most fundamental aspect of human life, human sexuality. And then they keep it quiet. But it's leaking out now, and these reports are getting out into the public. You wonder, why are these people doing this? Well, first of all, it's about money. NIAID was the largest single funder. I looked into this a little bit yesterday. Was the largest single funder of transgender-related projects, 66.8%. They asked the government for and got $84.7 million. Additionally, other institutes funded even more, $3 million each for a number of them. We won't go through the list. But back in 2019, Family Research Council, Tony Perkins' organization, laid this all out in 2019. And I don't have the time to go through it with you today, but it's coming to pass, as doctors and scientists were saying way back then. We're now seeing the results of it. God help us to learn and to hear and to know the truth. Thank you so much for being with me today. We'll continue this conversation right here tomorrow.